Today is the 2nd of Elul, the 13th of August, and our 25th and final for this season. Anyway, session of Sefer Olam Hamidos. We welcome Joan back. We welcome the storm outside, flesh, flood watch. I'm impressed that people made it today. Mayim rabim lo yuchlu lichbos sa'ava, as the Pasuk says, even great storms can keep us away from the fire of Torah. And here we go, on page Kuftel. That's not a small feat. Yeah, Gishmei Bracha, it should be Gishmei Bracha. Okay, so let's continue on page Kuf Dalet. I think we did some of this. I think probably the bottom of Kuf Dalet. We did talk about, we're in the Olam HaKas now, the world of anger, or the world of controlling anger. And we saw last time how Chazal described a person who was enraged as a person who's drunk. He really has no awareness of what he's doing and is totally out of control. So let's see, bottom of page Kuftal. Etzem hagashas hakas hi davar ra. The very feeling of anger is a bad thing. Etzem shlitas hakas ala adam hu davar ra ma'od. The very domination of anger over a person is a very bad thing. He's controlled by his emotion, his negative emotion. Afilu eino osa klum al pikaso. Even if he doesn't do anything, doesn't act on it, but he's enraged. Doesn't say something, doesn't do something, but he's overtaken by rage. Milvaji ba'atzma avera k'moshe v'ana le'el, aside from the fact that it's a sin, shekol ha'ko es kilu ovid avodah zara, just being angry is like worshipping avodah zara.
Rabbi Steinberg, if he's overtaken by rage and doesn't act on it, can't that rage dissipate since he's not acting on it?
Yeah. In fact, that was what we ended off with last time, that rage is like a fire. A fire eventually goes out if you don't feed it. But you're addressing a situation where he's already in anger. We're talking about trying not to get there in the first place. But you're right. Yes, certainly, once he's already angry, what he should do is not act on it, calm himself down. But in that moment prior to that, when we have the option, should I react to this and be so upset, or should I maybe don't even have to get angry in the first place? So just getting angry is not a good thing. The purpose of our lives is to fix our insides. As we wrote in the beginning of the Sefer, he damages himself and others, as we'll explain. He damages himself. He damages his health. Anybody who gets angry, all types of Gehenna, that we don't know the specifics, thank God, of different aspects of Gehenna, but if Chazal said all types of Gehenna dominate, rule over him, that can't be good for your system.
Can I ask you a question? Do you really have control, not you? Does one have control over their emotions? Like, in other words, just like Henya was saying, you could get really angry or upset at something, but then do you have control over not to get upset?
Yeah, I mean, there's different madregos. We always talk about the Nekudas HaBechira. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's control of his midos is not a regular person, even a good person, a good yid's control of his midos. We could all get there if we really worked on it. But I think what you're saying is most people, the first reaction is to get angry, but then they're able to...
The first reaction, right.
Yeah, we really are in control of that, too.
You are? Really?
Yeah, it just takes a lot of work.
I thought we weren't.
Yeah, no, a person does not have to get angry.
I remember that sign.
But I think... I've mentioned the great Musa Yeshiva has worked on mastering the emotions. One of the trademarks of Kelm was to never leave a state of equilibrium. But they literally trained in this regularly, to the extent that to us their behavior.
Did they deal with people?
No,
like some people just go out and meditate on the hills.
Rabbi Daniel, no, they would not. There are times when that may be helpful, and some great Bali Musa, some great Rebbes did go into isolation for periods of time. The Altiv Nevardek did, the Kutzke did. But Rabbi Daniel Movshevitz, who was the last head of the Kelm Yeshiva, was killed by the Nazis, and we have a record of his last moments. He asked to give a speech to the people assembled. He did so very calmly, and he turned and he said, I'm done now, you can proceed.
Okay.
They were very much in control of their emotions. But our smoke detector has a minute only to do it on Shabbos. You have a schus.
Ours is only to do it during your shiur.
Okay. They'll keep me alert. If I'm dozing off. So Uperish HaRosh, Shekosha LeGufo, Ki'ilu HaYanidan B'chol Mina Paranis B'Gehenim. This is very helpful to us. When you read a Chazal, a Gemara that says a person gets angry, all forms of Gehenim rule over him. I don't know what that means exactly. The Rosh is the great Rishon, Rabbeinu Asher. A lot of Shulchan Aruch is based on his rulings. He's one of the most classic Mefarshim on Gemara. So he says it means physically. The physical effect of that is as if he had been judged to be put in Gehenim and had suffered physically. That's what it means. V'davi yadua lakol eich hakas mazik lebriyas shel adam. I think nowadays this is well known. It's a well known thing how much anger damages a person's well being. People get ulcers. They get affects their heart. Affects their whole system. It's physically not a good state to be in. Somebody was just talking to me last night about Rabbi Yashiv. Rabbi Yashiv Baruch Hashem lived a very long life. He was known never to. He didn't get flustered by anything. He woke up one time after having a medical incident, and somebody told him what happened. He nodded and he said, "I'm at rest now." To sleep.
Was that natural? He had to work on himself.
He probably had to work on it. Va'od she'ein lo simcha sachayim. Furthermore, he doesn't have joy in life. Ki akoi shoru b'tzar gadol. Because one who gets angry is in great pain. He's not in a pleasant state of being. So like we always say, what happens in our lives we don't control a lot of. How we react to it, we can control, and I can choose to react. I can choose to allow myself to react angrily and then have a bad day and a bad week and a bad month, or I can choose, and it's not easy, but to overcome that and go through the exercises that make a person not angry, and then I'm in a better place to be. I don't remember if we learned it already or if it comes up later in the Sefer, but Rav Kestenbaum quotes the Alter of Nevardok, who explains that Derachel Darchei Noam, its ways are the ways of pleasantness, means that whereas people think you sacrifice in this world to live a life of Torah and it's hard and it's unpleasant, and then in the next world it's made up to you, but in this world, in this life, it's not pleasant. But that's not actually the case. The Alter of Nevardok has a piece in his Sefer, Madrega Sa'odam, where he goes through, he says, no, what the Torah means is it's better in this world too. It may not seem that way initially. If you take a mushel from some things in the physical world, it might seem more pleasant to eat everything I'd like, but even physically, it's not ultimately good for you. It's not going to make me feel better. So the same is true spiritually. It might seem like that's a more pleasant way to be, but it's actually not. It's not that I'm torturing myself in this world for reward in the next. It's the better way to live in Olam Hazeh. In fact, interestingly, he says that is what Chazal meant. We spoke about a Chazal earlier. Our sages made a statement that a person who runs after honor, honor runs away from him. And if he runs away from honor, honor pursues him. So he held that's really a generalization to everything. A person thinks, well, you know, if I want honor in this world, it's a bad thing, but it's the only way to have it pleasant in this world. Or I could choose not to have honor in this world, and that's meritorious, and then I'll get Olam Haba. So Chazal is telling you, it doesn't work anyway. If you pursue honor in this world, you don't get it anyway. So it's the people who opt to follow the Torah and are humble and don't pursue honor, those are the people who end up being honored anyway. And he maintains that's just a like emblematic of everything else, that all things are like that. And following the Torah, as the Rambam writes, it's the healthiest way to live. It's the best way to live. As it's not even that we're sacrificing. It's best in this world too. So certainly that's true with anger. It's not just, well, I want to get angry, but Hashem says no, and He'll reward me in the next world if I don't. It's I'm better off not getting angry. Mazik acherim, he harms others. Shehar b'pam kasam nikar l'acherim. Many times his anger is recognizable to others. Right, we're talking about somebody who's not acting on his anger, but he may be acting on it, but he's certainly, his state of mind is affected by his anger, and it's very often recognizable to others. L'chol ha'pachas l'fnei mishpach, at least to his family, those who are close to him. V'zeh atzmo pegia ro'a b'chodem. That itself is a bad... Bizokman pegia ro'a, English. If you could blend the word that means taint and negative encounter into one, that would be a pegia. It's an unfortunate state for them, being in the presence of somebody who's dour is really not a pleasant thing to be. What did that person do to deserve to have to sit here with you scowling? Even if he doesn't say anything hateful, at the very least, he's certainly not going to be positive. Maybe he won't be negative, but he's certainly not going to be Mr. Sunshine. So, v'im klapi acherim nachshav rak kemeniyam mechesed klapi bnei mishpato nachshav kan hagu shal sinna. If vis-a-vis others, it's just a lack of chesed. It would have been nice. It would have been nice to... If vis-a-vis others, it would have been nice to engage in a positive way, but he doesn't, so he fails to do that. But with his family, that's... They're relying on him. Certainly damages Shalom Bayis, and he wrote about this earlier in the beginning of Olam Amidos. Okay, now on page A, the next section. Not to give rebuke out of anger, which in parenting is always an important thing to bear in mind. School, it's important to bear in mind. Adam ladash im yesh lo tainus al chaver rotsa lo chicha al zeh. Person has to know that if he has a complaint against someone else, and he should rebuke him for that. L'kayim ha'shenem lo sisnes al chicha bel vavecha chayav to chicha samisecha. We're told in Parshas Kedoshim not to keep something bottled in, to express it properly. There's actually a slight machlokas rishonim how to understand what the two phrases in the pasuk mean, but just in simple pshat, don't hate your brother in your heart, give constructive criticism. If he's doing something that upsets you and you just don't say anything, and then it just remains bottled up, so that's not good in most cases. Kemoshe mavur b'Rambam, as the Rambam writes in the sixth parak of Hilchos Deos, al yochicho madain yesh kas b'kir, but still he should not rebuke him if he still has anger. Wait for another time. Don't rebuke him out of anger. Shafilu medaber benachas et bedvarim rachim. Even if he speaks softly, he's able to control himself. He's really angry, but he'll say it with soft words. Mikol makom chaver yargish bekasav esenosa shemenachem tachas dvar. His friend will sense the anger and hatred that rests, was licked, that rests in his words.
How does that go along with spanking?
Well, nowadays we don't generally encourage it, but when it was or is applicable, it should be done just as like I've quoted from Rabbeinu Avraham ben Rambam, to feign anger. If anger is necessary to impose the proper state of mind, somebody did something dangerous and you have to get the message through, you absolutely can't do that. I'm very angry. Put on your Mr. Angry face, but it shouldn't be coming from anger. When we're angry, anger is not a reasoned by definition. It's not a reasoned mode. It's something that overtakes me. So if I'm acting in something that overtakes me, that's by definition not based on seichel. The seichel should guide the emotions. So if my seichel says I have to show strong discipline, so it should be totally controlled. It shouldn't be the emotions controlling the thoughts. It should be the thoughts controlling the emotions. When we learn from the Chazon Ish and Emunah B'Tochan a few years ago, Chazon Ish speaks at length about what he calls the seichel and the dimyon. Dimyon usually means imagination, but for him it means like emotional thinking. And he says most people, the dimyon guides their seichel. There's a certain situation. This is the way I feel like it should be, so I back it up with arguments and so on. But what's supposed to happen is first it goes through seichel, what's actually the right thing to do here. And then when I've determined through seichel this is the right thing, then I should emotionally pursue that, but not the other way around. His friend will automatically feel as if he's attacking him. And as an outgrowth of that, he'll feel like he has to defend himself, and he won't hear his words. It's very, very true. We've seen this. When you're attacking, people defend. When you're not attacking, a person feels, wow, this is really just helpful advice, then they're open to it.
I have a question. A friend of mine recently said that you should never correct anybody. And I told her I learned differently, that sometimes you have to use your judgment, that sometimes it's okay and sometimes it's not okay.
Right, certainly the Torah says...
But she said you should never rebuke anybody.
That's what rebuke means. This could be semantic. It depends what kind of language we're talking about.
Well, she's rebuked me a couple times.
It would absolutely be folly to say that Judaism believes like everybody does their own thing. We have mitzvos that our covenant is as a community. At the same time,
we're responsible for each other.
Yeah, we're responsible for one another. That's what Arev means. It's a co-signer, a guarantor. At the same time, the poskim define for us the Gemara, and then the subsequent poskim define when it is worthwhile to engage and when it isn't. I'll say it's a mitzvah, just like it's a mitzvah to say that which will be heard, it's a mitzvah not to say that which won't be heard. Some things vary by whether we're talking about something that everybody should know is forbidden versus something that's a little more esoteric. Chazal apply a concept of mutav sheyiyu shogegin. If they're not going to listen anyway, better they should do it unwarned and uninformed than informed, but that doesn't apply everywhere. That applies to some things, not things that are explicit and outright in the Torah.
And then it's better to think and then maybe go for it, not rebuking, but unless...
The biggest thing is how to say it. The biggest thing is how to say it. Chazal already talked about that the art of tochacha was lost, and that was in the time of Chazal. Certainly in our time, we're very lacking in it. But there are ways that words can be heard, and there are ways that the person's not going to listen. It's condescending, it's insincere, it's angry. So how to give rebuke is even calling it rebuke is probably not the best way. You have to give constructive criticism, constructive feedback is an art. You know, we learn about Aaron HaKohen, who instead of taking it head on, why are you doing this, you're no good, would build people up. He would start complimenting, and then the person would say, wow, he thinks a lot of me, I really shouldn't act the way I do. For some strange reason, he thinks I'm greater than I am. I better live up to it. And sometimes there are ways of, you know, doing it the right way. You have to play a little bit of chess, right? If I go here, he's going to go there. What's going to happen if I say, hey, what are you, you know? I was like, you have to think things through a little bit. Kol orim yaseh b'das. But it's more often than not, people just react out of anger, and then it escalates, and the message doesn't get through anyway. V'lachein dafka achrei shachach hachamoso. Therefore, only after his anger has subsided, midas ha'odam nimtzeis b'matav shel shalva, and his midas are in a state of tranquility. Rak oz yochiach es chaver benachas u'ba'ofen shekala l'kabla. Only then he should constructively criticize his friend with nachas, and in a way that's easy for him to receive it. V'zem ha'od matzeh ben ba'ala ishto shetochocha b'kas ol ligram l'machlokas. It can happen domestically. A husband and wife, rebuke that comes out of anger just causes machlokas, it causes strife. If they give feedback out of a state of tranquility, and sometimes even with a joke, not a condescending joke, but good humored, since there's no anger, then the other person, it's very likely the other person will accept the rebuke. You know the count to 10 rule? Count to 10 days.
What if a person can't get it past their anger because of whatever's happening, and they really can't reach that state of equanimity?
Yeah, so
is it better to say something to clear the air, or is it better to stuff it?
Sometimes there's a chia for that. There's two different things. One is where one is actually hoping to yield, helping the other person with his or her midos or practice, anhaga. And the other is that, like a personal obligation, I just have to say that, I don't mean this in any bad way, but I have to say that I'm unhappy about X. I don't want to discuss, you know, sometimes just not to be in violation of the system, sometimes it's not, there could be situations where I will never be the one who's able to correct that person's behavior on this because I'm too much an ogeh, but that the incident was too great. I think that's certainly possible.
So better does not say anything.
I think it depends. That's how
I... Right, because you can't clear the air unless something's said, but right. You can't be calm about it.
Right. Sometimes it's a hard call whether something should be brought up or not. That was a famous machlokas between the Chavetz Chaim and Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. The way the story is told in Svarim is that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter would not give a haskama to the Sefer Chavetz Chaim because since it's a halacha sefer, he had to approve of every halacha there in order to get haskama. Means I agree. That's what the word means. And the Chavetz Chaim implies strongly, or actually says that if I've spoken lashon hara about somebody, and he doesn't know about it, and the only way to get mechila is for me to tell him what I said, that I should go ahead and do that, even though it's unfortunate because the person's unaware that I spread reports about him, and now I'm going to have to tell him that I did. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter held the fact that I need kapara doesn't allow me to now make the person feel bad. It's really coming right out of a thing in Rabbeinu Yonah. The halacha seems to be like on his side, but from a simple reading. But that's an example where I have two conflicting. On the one hand, I need kapara. On the other hand, I don't want to hurt his feelings. I want to clear the air. On the other hand, it's going to make more. It could make more tension.
Which rabbi said what?
The Chavetz Chaim said you do. He seems to say that you do bring it up. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said that my need for kapara doesn't allow me to. Right now, the person feels secure. People aren't talking about me. Now I'm going to go tell them. Actually, they are talking about you. I told everybody about X, Y, and Z. So what head to do I have to ruin his day or his week or his month just because I need kapara? That was he felt strongly that way. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's a hard call. So etzos l'sgaber al hakas. Etzos, how to overcome anger. V'achshav nevar kama etzos l'sayei l'sgaber al midas hakas. Now we'll explain several etzos suggestions that to help how to overcome anger. Yesh shnei minei tzar ba'olam. There's two types of pain in the world: tzar guf and tzar nefesh. Physical pain and spiritual pain. Tzara guf einu masur kol kach biyadeinu. Physical pain is not so much given over into our hands. Elu chelak mitivo shalolam. It's part of the nature of the world. At a very high level, people can control pain, or their effect pain has on them. There are stories of Gedolei Yisrael who were thinking through a difficult sugya of Gemara rather than taking an anesthetic before surgery and other things of that nature. There are such some concepts of mind over matter, but basically, if something falls on my foot, it hurts. Physical pain is direct teva. Aval tzar hanefesh toli rak bedatenu. But what you could call spiritual, emotional pain is really dependent on our mindset. Rov tzar hanefesh bo mimidas hakas. He says that most tzar hanefesh comes from anger. L'moshel, for example, teva adam letzar kishechem mezalza b'chvodo over al ritzon. It's the nature of a person to be pained when somebody denigrates his honor or violates his will. U'poshet hu shebederach klal hatzar eino machmatz etzem hazilzol. It's obvious in most cases the pain is not from the very denigrated, it's not from what happened. El machas hakas shemargish ketotzom en hazilzol. It's because of the anger he feels as a result. A guy, how could he do such a thing? Ooh, it's my response to it.
You interpret the anger.
Yeah, you process it and interpret it. Right. The imtisbatal akas, if the anger would be nullified, tisbatal hatzar. The pain would be nullified. We were talking about Rabbi Yisrael Salanter before. There's a midah that Bali Musa spoke about called midah ha'ishtavus, absolute equanimity, being in a state of equilibrium where whether they would be honored in the greatest way or denigrated, or still said, to me it feels the same. He was not susceptible. He didn't need human approval, and he wasn't susceptible to human denigration, which is at a level that's beyond us. But that So he wouldn't become angry. Many beautiful vignettes about Rabbi Yisrael where they didn't react at all. And it happens to be, maybe this is part of the Hashgacha, Balei Musar were the targets of some of the greatest provocations. In its time, like in the 1890s, there was a big wars going on in Kol Yisrael about Musar. Among great people, but it was the smaller people who made it unnecessarily unpleasant. There was a machlokas whether we should be adjusting the system as we learn in yeshivas or not. Some held the Musar is the Musar, you don't change the formula, the recipe. Others held, no, the times are different, it needs a change. That was, in short, the machlokas. And it was a strong machlokas, but some of the smaller people who got involved started attacking and writing things. Balei Musar were denigrated like you wouldn't believe. Mm-hmm. People who we know to be the greatest Gedolei Yisrael, things were published about them. I mean, lies. Rabbi Yisrael's Talmud, Rabbi Itzel Petterberger, had the most vicious things written about him. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And Ralph Cooks.
Yeah, that's later. But he never responded. He only responded once. He responded once in writing when somebody wrote a defense in his name. Somebody wrote as if he was responding to something. So he just wrote a little thing and said, just mention I didn't write that. But everything else, you know, he never felt it worthwhile to respond. But that takes a greatness of character. B'nogei l'tzar aguf, ha'odim gorim tzar l'chaveiro. With regard to physical pain, one person causes harm to another. If you know, you punched him in the nose, it hurts. L'gavei tzar ha'nefesh, but when it comes to tzar ha'nefesh, which is more abstract, ha'odim atzmo gorim es ha'tzar la'atzmo. That's what it's supposed to mean. We say, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Now, for the perpetrator, words are worse. Words can kill more than sticks and stones. But we're talking about the victim, in many cases, has the option of how to react, and it can be self-inflicted pain. I like to say, etzim ba'avonim will break my punim, but words will never hurt me. That's a little more from. Haga atzmacha, which means like think about it. Eza bracha yezel adam im hayyachal hasir satar shenigram kitatzah mikasa. What a blessing it would be for a person if he could remove the pain that's caused as a result of his anger. Harayachal adam lios mamish ben chorin. I mean, think about it. There's a situation, a person gets angry about it. He walks around angry the rest of the day. It didn't have to be.
Well, it could be hurt too.
Could be hurt. Yeah, sometimes it really is direct. What the person did causes you direct harm. But a lot of times it's just the way we think about what happened. We walk around mulling over it and steeped in it, and a lot of times you can just let it go. He would be a ben chor and he'd be a free person. Tzarech adam luzkar tamid shalidei kasa hurak mevi agmas nefesh v'atzmo. The person has to remember that by way of his anger he just brings frustration, agmas nefesh, to himself. If a person wants to overcome his anger when his friend pains him, he should remember the famous words of the Sefer Achinach with regard to the prohibition of revenge. This theme that he talks about here, Rav Volba writes about at length, and he talks about Emunah, and it's Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't understand the chait of Moshe Rabbeinu. Every year we review the parsha, we try to figure out what it was, and different mafarshim say different things. Moshe Rabbeinu is so great, we have to figure out what sin he did. We're not even exactly sure. It's nuanced, but Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah says that Moshe Rabbeinu at his level got angry, and Hashem says to him, Ya'an lohem mantim bi. You didn't have emunah. So obviously we're talking about at the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, but at some level, getting angry is a lack of emunah. What we can take from that. Because anger really is something that's not the way it's supposed to be. What you just did to me was not supposed to happen. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, it could be you weren't supposed to do it, but nothing's going to happen in my life that wasn't supposed to happen. Right? It's a lot easier said than... you know, inculcated within our real being, but that's what we have to think about. So listen to what the Chinuch says, the Sefer HaChinuch by Aaron Halevi, from Barcelona, who wrote a Sefer really for his son to review the Parsha each week and learn the mitzvahs in the Parsha. And the beauty of the Chinuch is, at once, it's simple and the deepest of the deep. It's a very readable Sefer from a Rishon. You can read it and understand it at a basic level, but he also has very deep ideas. And one of the things he does is he gives me Shurashe HaMitzvah. He gives me like a reason for each mitzvah. Not that we think that any reason is the full reason, but he has a way of thinking. We don't know fully any reason of Hashem's Torah, but a way to think about it, understand what that mitzvah could be about. So he calls Mishrashe HaMitzvah, from among the roots of the mitzvah. And he presents like very basic but deep concepts of Yiddishkeit there.
What is the name of the Sefer?
Sefer HaChinuch.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a Sefer HaChinuch. He goes in the order of the parashas, gives you some basic halachas of the mitzvah, where you find more in the Torah and the Chazal, and then he gives you Mishrashe HaMitzvah. Beautiful Sefer. So, on the Isser of Losikom, you shall not take revenge, he writes, Mishrashe HaMitzvah Sheyed Ha'ad Me'iten Aliba, that a person should know and take it to heart. Ki kol asher yikrei umitova ad ra, that everything that happens to him, from good to bad, usiba shetava olav meis Hashem yisbarach, it was something that was meant to happen from Hashem. Al kain, therefore, kishi yitza'areyu, o yachiveyu adam. Therefore, if somebody pained him, tzar and ka'iv both really mean pain in English, yeda benafsho ki avonosav garmu, he should know in to himself that his sins cause it. V'Hashem Yisbarach gozar alav b'kach, and Hashem decreed so. By the way, we're never supposed to say it to somebody else. You know, for ourselves, we're supposed to be introspective and say, "Oh, this is, you know, this is my own fault." You never talk to somebody else that way. But v'lo yoshes machshavosav linkom imenu, and he shouldn't apply his thoughts how to take revenge from the person. Ki eino sibas ra'aso, why should I not take revenge? Because he didn't do it. It would have happened some other way. If I had an inconvenience, if I had a pain, it would have come to me a different way. He didn't cause that in my life. He may have caused this particular manifestation of it, and that might not have been the right thing, but that's between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki oven hu amasabev. Sin is what caused it. And by the way, it could also be other things, but it's an assignment, it's something else, but he's not the cause. Ukemosha medavra alav shalom. As David HaMelech said, "Hanichelo v'yakalo ki amelah Hashem Yisbarach." It's an amazing example of this in Tanakh, which shows you the character of David HaMelech. There's a mutiny from his son. He's in the most vulnerable and lowest point in his life. He's running away from his own palace, and Shimi ben Gera is cursing him. So Yoav says, "I should go respond to that." You know, a chutzpah. And David's not personally angry. He says, leave him, that he's cursing. It's from Hashem. This is I'm meant to suffer this degradation. He attributed the matter to his own sin and not to Shimi ben Gera. Adkan Lashonu, end quote from the Sefer HaChinuch. It's an amazing piece. And it's
later he tells us on the kill.
Right. So the way the Mefarshim explain is, when it was no longer going to yield any personal vengeance, gratification, he felt Shimi was actually guilty for that, and I'm the melech, and something was supposed to happen, but I'm not going to do it in my lifetime, because I'm not interested in, and there's no personal vendetta here. That's right, yeah, when at the beginning of Melachim, when he's talking to Shlomo, he says, Ratatim is Sevasa B'yogon Sholem. V'shamati mashal azeh. Rav Kistenbaum says, I heard a mashal about this, Meir Rav Yosef Zonenshine, Shlita, don't know him. Sha'adam Shakibel Maka Mishulchan. Person who, he got injured from the table. Right? I stubbed my toe, I banged my elbow. Miyadu Magish Kas Al Shulchan. So right away he's angry at the table. Some people even fight back. They strike back. Aval Achakach Yavin Me'atzma Shalom Shulchan Garam Lo Asatzar. But after a moment's contemplation, he'll realize the foolishness of that reaction. The table didn't cause it to him. V'kamokein V'chol Matzah Shal Kas. Now obviously a Baal Bechira is different, a creature that has free will is different from a domain, from an inanimate object, or even from an animal. But ultimately, he's saying it's the same thing, because if it is from Hashem. Kamokin Mechomatsu Shokas Tark Lavin Shalot Adam Zagaram Laos Tara Lamesa Kodesh Baruch Hu. He has to realize it's not really him. Whatever pain I have, is not Hashem is manning the ship. Vizel Ritzon HaBore. It's the will of the Creator. Adam Hurak Shliach Mimarum. This person is a Shliach from on high. Imkain Ein Makom Lovel De Kasal. There's no real place to come to anger against him.
So let me ask you, so there's a difference like between a chai and a domim?
I use the word domim, but really I should have said anything else, because human beings have free will, other things don't.
Right, so it's very clear to say, oh, the table didn't try to get me, but the other person did, even though it's both like the Ratzon Hashem, that this person is going to suffer some kind of whatever it is that he's suffering, it's easier to not worry about the table.
Yeah, of course, that's why he's giving it as a mashal. A mashal means that in the story, it's simple. In my own life, it's not, right? That's what a mashal is. So, yeah, he's using that as a mashal. Philosophically, it's a little involved. In fact, the beginning of one of the volumes of Yeruchim Levavitz's teachings, or I think it quotes from Rabbi Simcha Zissel Ziv, the Altar of Kelm, that if a person is in danger from a Baal Bechir, if a person is after him versus some natural force, it requires greater schus to be spared, which really is something we say in, if you say Tachlan, I quote from David HaMelech, Niptla na biyad Hashem ki rabbi machim biyad adam ala pola. And David was given a choice of what owner she would have. It requires more schus to be protected from a Baal Bechir. How that fits into the calculus of you know, that ultimately everything is from Hashem is complicated. The Sfarim on Emunah talk about that. You know, there's different levels of Hashkacha, Hashkacha Pratis, Hashkacha Klolos. You know, we're talking at a basic level. Ultimately, it is from Hashem. Nothing's going to happen to me that isn't from Hashem, isn't in his calculations. The direct incident, the person had, I mean, we all recognize if a person chooses to come over and punch me in the nose, he can choose to punch me in the nose. And it doesn't mean at that very second Hashem would have sent somebody else, you know, to do the exact same thing. What we mean is, ultimately, I'm not going to suffer pain in my life that isn't meant for my Kodesh Baruch Hu. And therefore, it's not really the person. But that particular act, of course, the person through his Bechira carried it out. Here's a higher madrigal. The truth is, a person has to be makar tov. He has to be thankful to somebody who pains him. This is an amazing thing that he's going to quote right here. This is an amazing. Mekevin shayidei atzar miskaper mavonosa, because due to the pain, his sins are forgiven. Umin haroi lahavi kanes divrei achidah la mishnah. It's appropriate to cite here the words of the. This is an amazing, beautiful thing that he cites. The Chida is, of course, a great Sephardic owner, Chaim Yosef David Azuloi, who was Gedoli Yisrael, is an encyclopedic knowledge of everything. He wrote many Sfarim. So on the Mishnah and Avos, Shimon ben Omer kol yamai gudalti ben achacham velo matzasi laguf tove el ashtika. So there's a Mishnah, and we're familiar with it. We understand the basic idea of it, but the wording, you can't quite understand, like, why did Chazal word it that way? So he says, Shimon, the son of Rabbi Gamliel, says, my whole life, Shimon, the son of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, but anyway, he says, my whole life, I grew up among the Chachamim, and I haven't found anything good for the body but silence. Mm. I mean, for the body, right? Silence is good. Chazal bestow the value of remaining silent at great length, but I haven't found anything good for the body. It's a strange, for a person. Good to be silent. So what's for the body? So listen to this. Shekosu b'feirusha zroi yamin. The Chida apparently has a commentary called Zroi Yamin. Old Marian Synagogue on the base medrash upstairs. If you're facing the Aron, on the left side, toward the front, there's a shelf of the Chida Sfar. I don't think it's even all of them, but it's a collection of the Chida Sfar. Chida wrote like constantly. He wrote many Sfar. So his commentary on Perkei Avos, I think he has more than one, is called Zroi Yamin. Pirusha Rabzal, Misha Shomea Cherposa V'Shosek. So he quotes an earlier commentary, the classic commentary on Mishnah is Rabbeinu Avadya Bar Tzinura, who says simply, Shtika, we're talking about the silence, we're talking about as one who hears his shame and is silent. Okay, silence could mean not talking too much. Silence could mean not speaking Lashon Hara. But he says what the silence we're referring to here is when a person was shamed and he doesn't respond. That's the shtika we're referring to. I haven't found anything better than shtika. It means not responding when offended, when shamed. And now the Chida elaborates on that. So listen to what he says. One can expand. We can talk about this more expansively. Because of Haramakzal, as Rav Moshe Cordovero, the great Mekubal, writes, the Ein b'chol hasigufim v'taniyos davar hamachshe hanefesh u'machaper avonosov kishomeh achar posov v'shosek emolchol. And all the self afflictions and fastings, and there were errors in Klal Yisrael, were great chachamim engaged in all the, if you learn about the Hasidei Ashkenaz, there are people who for the purpose of kapara fasted a lot and even did things that were uncomfortable and out in the cold. And so we don't usually advise us today, we're not in that kind of a level, but all the self-affliction that a person will engage in, it's supposed to be for kapara, fasting and so on, there's nothing that prepares, or I should say, kashers the soul and forgives sins, like one who hears his shame and is silent and forgives. There's nobody who's a complete tzaddik. We all have things to do kapara for. And he needs different suffering or taniyos, or kabbalas yisurin va'aniyos, or God forbid, accepting yisurim or poverty, v'chaloyim, illness, v'chayotze, asher kol echad mehem marmi mavos. Each one of them is very, very difficult. Very difficult. Achamavre el midosov, a person who, mavre midosov means one is willing to let things go. Somebody did something, offended him, and so on, he just lets it go. Ochel v'shosa, misparnas betov, avonosa mischaprim. He eats, he drinks, well taken care of, and his sins are forgiven. You know, it's a type of suffering that doesn't leave wounds, doesn't have baggage. V'herich was it, and he writes at length about this, meaning of Moshe Cordovero. The Chida has now connected. The pshat in this mission, according to Bartanura, is when you hear your shame and you're silent. Rav Moshe Cordovero tells us that among all the things a person could do, like taniyos, hearing one's shame and not responding is more meritorious than all that. So now says the Chida, v'zeo sh'amer lo matzasi laguf. That's why I said I haven't found anything better for the body. Daika, specifically, shelo yitzdarach yisurin baguf of a mamono, that he shouldn't need any other type of affliction over him or his possessions. Osi gufim v'ein tov mishtika. Nothing better than silence. Ki utov la guf, she'ochel v'shosav yesh labriyas v'nistach la yedei ashtika. He has every comfort, and it's forgiven without any harm. An amazing thing. Adkan l'shana, that's a quote from the Chida. It's an amazing insight into a Mishnah, and an amazing concept in general. So when you read the beginning of his paragraph, it says you should give a thank you to somebody who offends you. It's a little hard at first blush to see that, but when you read the full paragraph, you see it's actually true. Imagine for yourself, Adam Misraim al Medosav Shal Hashem. Person complains, and Misraim is like to thunderously complain on the Midas of Hashem. Shechayev kol kach kasha, his life is difficult. Ishtok, Shas Ruach, Tom Mitzikolo, Mriva Imo. Again, this sefer is written for Yeshiva Bachram, so he's. It comes from a certain perspective, but let's say he's complaining his wife is not good to him. He should tzar gidol banam, his children, habriyus shaloi nukal kachtov, his health. Vim kolze od koshalo ha-pranasa, and the pranasa is difficult. V'rachmanus al ben adam shalom mevin sha-kadosh baruch hu betuv al gadol nasan lo nisayon shal isha kosha kadeh l'sakan midosu l'chap al vanosu. It's we'd say like a nebuch, it's unfortunate, what a pity, that a person doesn't realize that's exactly his nisayon. I was talking about this a little bit on Shabbos when you read about the Navi Sheker. You're not supposed to follow a false prophet, and the Torah emphasizes, "Don't follow him." Ki menasa Hashem alkechem eschem. Hashem is testing you. In fact, Rabbi Ruchem Levovitz in the Das Torah has a beautiful piece on this. A lot of times, people just fail to look at something as an Messiah. We're immediately jumping into how to correct this. This is not meant to be, and this shouldn't be. And instead of saying, "Oh, that's today's game. That's the challenge today." So we're looking to escape from something that's inescapable, and we're complaining that we're stuck in something that we shouldn't be stuck in, when that might exactly be the nisayon that we're supposed to rise to. It just sticks out in my mind because I guess it's Girsa de Yankusa for me, something I saw years ago as a sefer, MS Ve'amuna, Teachings of the Kutzker Rebbe. My in-laws have it on the white shelf. We read a Mishnah. This is just symbolic of everything else, but we read a Mishnah that says, Al tamil chashefna eshna shemel etipana. Don't say when I'll be free. I'll learn because maybe I'll never be free. So he says people read that and they think what it means is really you're supposed to have a situation in life where you have free time and that's your ideal era in life. But there'll be times when you're very busy and, you know, try to learn then too because, you know, maybe a while till you get to the ideal state of life where you have the time. Says the Kuska, no, it could be my whole nesayon in this world. What my neshama has to do is figure out how to learn even when I have no time. And I'm going to spend my whole life waiting for, maybe 5 years from now I'll work out that I'll have this and all that. I'm not learning now, but it's all going to be reserved for then. And I don't realize, no, the nesayon is to deal with, actually, with the facts on the ground and do what you can anyway. So a lot of people live their lives that way with a lot of things. This is all not the way it's supposed to be. I'm going to escape to that place of ideal living, and then I'm going to do well, and then I'm going to be who I'm supposed to be. And they don't really. No, it's with all of those challenges that you have now. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to see how well you do. He doesn't want you to escape from this game. It's imagined like a basketball game, and people they don't want to play this game. They want to play a different game. But this is the game you have to play. So he says it's unfortunate to have these nisyonos and not view them as an opportunity. If he could rise to the occasion, all the things that he feels are a challenge, he would be zocher to. This fool is squandering what's being given to him. He's arguing with her, and if the children aren't raised well, he writes, Shalom Bayis affects upbringing. And the fact that he didn't allow that Nisayan to be his kapara, now he needs a different Nisayan. Or a different kapara, I should say. We have to understand that if we find ourselves in a circumstance of Nisayan where somebody is paining us, per the pain is the reward. God forbid to waste this opportunity, right? Like the story of Baruch Ber as a young boy that his father gave him a patch for something and he immediately took out a siddur and started davening mincha. I think he even quotes it. He started davening mincha right away. He says, Father, what are you doing? He said, well, I was crying. I didn't want to waste the tears. You know, like, it's an opportunity. So if a person has a challenge, has an assignment, it's an opportunity. And it's squandering an opportunity and then it causes pain somewhere else, which is unnecessary. Again, this section is Eitzos, how to overcome anger. So now this is a very good process to think through, which helps. Also, a person should think how many times he does things, avlos means sins, against Hashem. And he doesn't conduct himself with his creator per the proper kavod. Right, sometimes the things that we do in our micro lives, and things that look foolish, we look at a young child who's acting ungrateful or irrational, and you wonder, like, do we look that way to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's the same thing, you know? So we don't do what we're supposed to do, but if that guy doesn't do to me what he's supposed to do, oh, this is like an outrage, I'm furious. We have a teaching of Chazal that a person who is merachem al habrias, if one is merciful to people, so Hashem is merciful to him. Why? It's not even reward, it's just that the midah keneged midah is whatever system you use, that's the system that's used for you. So if I'm a stickler, and whatever you do wrong to me, it's quid pro quo, so Kodesh Baruch Hu says that's a system you want. But if a person's very forgiving, okay, he's human, let it go. So Hashem says, okay, so that's the proper din for this person is rachamim, because that's his modus operandi. Lo v'lo, not at all, we wouldn't want that. El yimchol alan hagas chaveiro elav. He should forgive his friend's conduct toward him. Umida k'neged mida, Hashem yimcholo. then Hashem will be mochel him. Kemosh Amar Rizal Kol Mavir Medosav Mavir Lo Kol Pshav. Gemara Roshon, a person who's Mavir Medosav, we forgive all of his sins. So again, all the Mefarshim ask, it seems unjust. Chazal say that you're not allowed to say that Hashem just lets things go. If you say, yeah, Hashem just lets things go. Yeah, I know I did all those things, but you know, there's no system of J. You're not allowed to say that. It's the most fundamental falsehood. We believe in Schar Va'Onesh. So how could there be a statement that a person who lets things go, he's flexible with people, so we forgive all of his sins? Where's the justice? Where's the Schar Va'Onesh? The answer is that's it. The fact that Hashem said, oh, if that's your system, and you're able to overcome your midos that way, okay, so that's the system we give you. Pirush Rashi, Shem Mavral Midosav, Hainu She'inu Medaktik Limdod Mida L'Metzarim Osov. In English, it's hard to translate. Mavral Midosav means he forgoes his midos. So what does that mean? Because midos is really a measure, right? Really, okay, you just caused me five points of frustration, so you get 5 points of response. That's mida keneged mida. So mavir midosav means he lets it go. He's not such a stickler. Umaniach midosav halach, lets it go. V'lachein midosav din enu medakdekas achra v'elam manchasav alechas. So if he walks away from it, so midosav din says, okay, so we'll walk away from your averus too. V'yesh anashim shema'od ragishim me'elbon acherim. There are people who are very sensitive, to wrap it up soon, but from the shame of others. Mitzad echad yesh kan mida tova. On the one hand, it's very good. Shekevin shu ragish la'atmo v'adayei ragish l'rukshosim shel acher. He's very sensitive himself. He'll be sensitive for others too. There are people who are very attuned to nuances and the way people communicate and so on, and they can sense even the slightest lack of respect or insult or something. So at one level, it's a good thing because he's astute for other people too. Maybe be careful with other people. But on the other hand, this person is more easily, that Shorish Ayin Lamed Beis means to be ashamed. He's more easily offended by others. He can come to anger. So he has to strengthen himself and not to be so sensitive to what other people say. Is to remember that he essentially is an honorable person. Yeah, he's alluding to the fact that sometimes it comes from low self-esteem. If I don't think much of myself, so then if somebody offends me, I'm shattered. But if a person has a good sense of self-worth, not gaiva, but just that he realizes he's a worthwhile person, then the offenses can fly in the air. Ayosim liba alayim. Shouldn't take them to heart. Olav lahavin shelo yishtana erko klalo klal mishum el bonzeh. His value is not going to change at all because of this insult. Zeh klal. This is the rule. Benogei la'acherim tzarech liyos rogish ma'od v'lo lahalev. With regard to others, we have to be very sensitive and not to offend. Avon benogei la'atzmo yiyakosha kabarazol. With regard to himself, he should be tough as iron. Rishvah Salant also used to talk about the difference the way one acts toward oneself and toward others. A classic example that he would talk about is when it comes to oneself, it's meritorious to desist on little. Great Bali Musa indulged in nothing. But, to be abstemious and not to... when a guest comes to the house, you don't say, I wanted to help you foster your Musa character, so I'm not offering you anything to eat or drink. That's not the way it's supposed to be. So it's the same thing with these things. We should be very sensitive to other people's feelings, but we shouldn't be hypersensitive ourselves. So very relevant to Shalom Bayis. Husband shouldn't take it to heart if his wife offends him. He's going to be pained. He's going to get angry. Necessarily, he's going to get angry. This is a very valid point also. As we said before, even if the president doesn't act on it, but if he's walking around steeped in his own, he's wallowing in his own misery over being offended, so he doesn't do anything about it, but you can't be outwardly benevolent if you're busy, stuck in thinking about yourself. He certainly can't be attuned to her feelings. But if he trains himself to ignore the offense, then he's able to focus on her feelings and share in her pain. And you have to know that almost all anger and being offended is a result of gaiva. I think when you look at Chachmei Yisrael and the reason they were in such control of their emotions, the answer comes when you read what they write. Like when you read an introduction to a sefer, and you're talking about Rabbi Akiva Eiger, one of these great chachams spent his whole life steeped in Torah mitzvah, says, Hashem, I've done so many things against your will, and nevertheless, you haven't paid me back any of the things that I really deserve in the negative sense, and therefore I'm just full of hakaras hatov. It sounds like they felt very humble before Hashem. So if you're very humble, you feel like I don't deserve all the good I have in life. Why would I get angry because one inconvenience came my way? But therefore, anger really does come from gaiva. I deserve better. I should be treated better. I deserve more in life. Ha'adam margish. A person feels, Eich adam zeh medaber mi b'ofen zeh. How does this person speak to me that way? Eich ploni over al ratzoni. How can somebody go against my will? V'ha'adam litzchok me'atzmo. Eichu makbir kol kach al kvodo hane'ela. He has to laugh at himself a little bit. How is he so makbir about his lofty honor? When we learned from Rabbi Rucham's Shmuzin, he had a piece where if you look at a horse and it's so proud, he's talking about the various animals and out in the wild and how they're so proud, and they don't understand. What are you so proud of? You don't understand anything. You don't know anything. So sometimes I'm so caught up with my honor. Why and what for? So if we think through these things, it's definitely an avoda, but it can help us to overcome the midas hakas and Rezus Hashem bring us to midas hasimcha, which is the next section, and gevura, which is strength of character, and ultimately to chesed. And Rezus Hashem, Od Chazon Lamoid, we'll have to figure out a time we can learn the rest of the Sefer Bli Neder, but for now, we'll stop here. Okay, thank you. Be well, Marilyn.
Thank you, Rabbi.